and welcome to Dak and Rick's Pod. I'm Dak.
And I'm Rick.
And this is a father-son podcast where we talk about all things sports. And today we are fresh off the Formula One British Grand Prix. And before we start, how are you feeling today?
I'm feeling great. What an exciting race, Dak. I can't wait to speak with you and our listeners about it.
Of course. But before we get into that, let me give you guys a quick little rundown on how the show is going to go today. Of course, we're going to talk about the British Grand Prix, because that just happened a couple minutes ago. But we also have the NBA free agency. It opened and a lot has happened, so we have to talk about that. And then, of course, we got to narrow it down and talk about our Miami Heat, as at the end of the day, this is a Miami-based podcast and there's a lot to talk about. But before we can get to that, let's start with the Formula One British Grand Prix. Give me the rundown. Start.
Well, as you said, it took place in the United Kingdom. And it was at the Silverstone track. And, you know, we got to talk a little bit about history. You know, this is the first ever race on the F1 calendar, and it took place in the United Kingdom. This is one of two Grand Prix to be held every season of F1. And we have to mention Sir Lewis Hamilton. He was fantastic today, but last year he was the Mercedes 2021 winner.
Of course, Sir Lewis Hamilton. But before we get into the race today, we have to talk about a little bit what happened throughout the weekend. So heading into the weekend, Red Bull drivers Max Verstappen and Sergio Checo Perez held 1 and 2 in the drivers' championships, with Ferrari's Charles Leclerc being only 3 points behind Checo for third place. So tight race, everything's starting to, you know, come together. And the constructors' championship is only getting tighter as Red Bull leads with Ferrari and Mercedes in the back, and then leading the midfield, McLaren and Alpine. And just for our listeners who aren't too keen to Formula One, tends to be every year some sort of mix up between Red Bull, Ferrari, and Mercedes as your top three. So then there's something called the midfield, which are pretty much the rest of the pack. And I know it sounds kind of bad, like how does a sport stay competitive? It actually stays quite competitive. But the midfield means teams that aren't in the first three, because to be honest, the first three are just significantly ahead. And Formula One is trying to close that gap between those teams, but it still hasn't gotten there. But just so our listeners can know. And of course, you know, we had three practices. Then we had qualifying where, surprise, Ferrari driver Carlos Sainz gets pole position. Pole position meaning he will start the race at grid spot number one. And in his 150th race, how impressive was this by Mr. Sainz?
That was amazing. I mean, it was incredible the way he drove, the way he passed, the way, I mean, it was just wild.
Truly was. And now in his 150th race, our first race reviewing Formula One, he started on pole position. And I'm going to give you guys a quick little rundown, as there's so much that happens in these races. You just have to watch them or watch the race highlights from Formula One themselves. But I'm going to try to keep you guys up to date, as the race started very quickly. And Carlos Sainz lost his first position to Max Verstappen, but after a crazy red flag. You want to talk about that red flag?
Well, it was just very scary, the whole red flag scenario with the accident taking place. And
well, let me then explain that accident so the viewers understand. So it involved Zhou Guanyu of Alfa Romeo, George Russell of Mercedes, Alex Albon of Williams, Esteban Ocon of Alpine, Pierre Gasly of AlphaTauri, and somewhat Nicholas Latifi of Williams. So to give kind of a description, it was, I believe, George Russell in 8th, Zhou Guanyu in 9th, and in 10th, Nicholas Latifi. George and Zhou get a slow start, so Nicholas Latifi goes straight through the middle of both cars and is able to pass them. But then Pierre Gasly sees that same opening and tries to take advantage. But then George tries to cut him off. He ends up being hit by Gasly, hits into the Alfa Romeo, which is of Zhou Guanyu. And Zhou Guanyu goes flipping crazy all over the track. George also runs off the track onto the gravel. Then how the other cars get into it. Well, Pierre Gasly gets a little damage, not too much. And then Esteban Ocon gets involved because I think it's Zhou Guanyu's, or maybe it's Pierre Gasly's, I can't really remember. It was such a tense time. Nobody really knew what happened. And then basically at that point, we knew Zhou Guanyu was somewhere in the barricade. George Russell had gone off the track. Esteban Ocon was seriously damaged. Yuki Tsunoda even got injured. And then Alex Albon gets crashed from behind as all the cars are trying to slow down. Sebastian Vettel didn't realize that everyone was slowing down and crashes directly into the back of the Williams car.
I mean, it's just wild. And the fact that this, you know, I mean, think of what happened here. When the viewers actually see it on television or film, they're going to see that Zhou Guanyu, his car flipped a few times, hit a wall. I mean, I thought this was
it jumped
over
the barricade. It jumped
barricade,
in between
yeah.
the little space that there is between the chicken wire fence that protects the fans and the space between the barricades.
I mean, it's a miracle that this car didn't disintegrate. And it's a miracle that he's able to, he was taken to the hospital. We just found out a few minutes ago, he came out fantastic. He's doing well. Yes,
he posted on social media telling everyone thank you for the prayers and that he's okay. And then quickly, just not trying to go off that, but before I forget, let me also mention how Checo Perez and Charles Leclerc also had a little bit of bumpage there at that start. Not involved in that incident, but it was something that happened which caused both of them to get front wing damage, which will become important later on. But I'll let you finish talking about that.
Well, no, just tell them a little bit about what happened with George Russell.
Well, George Russell then jumps out of his Mercedes to go and help Zhou Guanyu or try to figure out what's going on. And although he did cause the crash or was somewhat involved in the causing of the crash, I don't know. I think it's called more racing incident. So like they don't believe it was caused by anyone. It's just something that happens because right. at the end of the day, racing is a very dangerous thing as we've seen throughout the years. But thankfully, look, there's been enough advancements in Formula One that so many years ago, it would have been the death of Zhou Guanyu that we would be talking about today. But thankfully to the advancements of the cars and how they've been built, they've been able to save a life today.
Yeah, technology. And you know, when the race started years ago, there was it was like an automatic. Like people knew, and the drivers knew that in one race, some driver was going to get injured, some car was going to get into an accident, something bad was going to happen. Nowadays, that's not the case anymore, thanks to modern technology and thanks to advancement, like you were saying previously, and how the cars are built and how the drivers are protected, etc.
And they're also trained more and all that stuff.
Right.
But now let's quickly...
But I mean, talk about a little bit about George. So
yeah, that's what I was going
to
mention.
What happens to his car?
So then George gets out of the car to go help. And since he technically got out of the car, it was kind of a gray area on could he continue the race? Did he try lead? Like, is that him signifying he was done? He claims to the FIA officials, FIA is the controlling group of Formula One, like the referees per se of Formula One. He tried debating with them that he got out of the car to help Zhou Guanyu and be a good person. And then that's why he couldn't get, if he would have stayed in the car would have restarted as it still worked. But since he had left it for so long, he got back in the car. It didn't work. He tells the FIA officials who are coming to take his car, hold on, I'm going to go talk to my mechanics and see if it's something that I can fix. And supposedly, this is all according to George, at the end of the day, we only have one side of the story. He claims the FIA take the car and without his permission and without them fully, like without him fully retiring from the race and forced the retirement. And since the FIA rules state that if a car gets help from an outside source to get back to the pit lane, that means it is a retirement. Retirement means just for that race that he will no longer be competing. So at that point, we had lost George Russell's Mercedes, Zhou Guanyu's Alfa Romeo, and the Williams of Alex Albon.
Yeah, and you know, they're going to appeal this. They're going to look at this. This is a situation where you're, you know, this guy is showing. I mean, listen, we don't know both sides. I wasn't there. I'm not hearing and seeing the inside story. But the reality is what he was trying to do was be a good human being and good sportsmanship. And I don't know how this is going to affect people in the future from, you know, if there's an accident, getting out of their vehicles.
Yeah, this is all going to go down as, oh, but he technically caused an accident, so he should have been retired either way. There's a lot of gray area that we still don't know as the race finished a couple minutes ago, and we still haven't, like, you know, really looked at any of the highlights or anything. So at the end of the day, we don't want to, you know, be saying anything like George should have been whatever, this, that. Rules are rules, and at the end of the day, today, it didn't work out in Mercedes' favor as George Russell retired from the race. Then we had a red flag, which held the race for about 45 minutes to an hour as only like 30 seconds had gone in the race.
Well, what is that red flag for the?
So a red flag basically means that racing needs to stop as they need to clear the track and sit and fortify it again before the racers can go back out. As of course they need to clear the cars that were causing the damage. They need to clear up the pieces from the damage. And then that means all racing stops, all the cars return into the pit lane and typically restart in the positions that they were in last. But since most of the cars didn't pass a certain threshold to begin the race, the FIA determined that they would restart the race, but with the qualifying positions. So we would be on lap three, technically, as since they technically finished one lap going into the pit lane, they were going to finish another one warming up their tires, and then the third lap would be a standing start, which a standing start just means starting in the positions go again. And with that, Sainz was able to get back in first place after Max Verstappen took the lead. And then also Mercedes lost out on two positions as Lewis Hamilton got a quick jump on Checo and on Charles Leclerc and was in third place. So it's a little bit confusing. Everyone's confused about this situation. And, you know, but rules are rules again. And now we resume the race with Sainz back in first place. Perez ends up falling behind after that front wing damage, as I mentioned earlier. So he has to take an early pit stop, but that'll be beneficial for him later. And then Verstappen ends up with damage when he ends up retaking the lead from Sainz. Then Sainz and Leclerc get back in 1-2. And eventually Verstappen has to pit, meaning Lewis Hamilton gets back in the top three. Lewis Hamilton catches up as Leclerc is forced to stay behind Sainz, as Carlos Sainz is not giving up his spot. Today was his day.
Right. He did a great job in doing that. But I mean, it was so exciting between 1, 2, and 3. I mean, consistently.
Yeah, it was them three and then right. A long pause and everybody else.
But I mean, it was great to see, you know, Sainz. It was great to see, obviously, Hamilton and Checo. I mean, it was fantastic how they were competing at such a high level.
Yeah, you skipped a little bit ahead there talking about Checo, as we still haven't even reached more things that happened on this race. This race was wild. And, you know, with it having so much history, what else did you expect?
Yeah, I know. That's why it was so incredible. And the fans were so into it. You know, I mean, they usually are very into it. But like Hamilton, as Hamilton said later on, maybe that's because he's from the UK and they were supporting him. But he was saying the fans here are amazing. And
yes, it was a record-breaking crowd this year of over 400,000 people in the 4 days Formula One was there. But back onto the race. Verstappen ends up with damage, as I mentioned. That means Leclerc is behind Sainz, and Sainz would just not give up the position. He said, I'm going to be P1, and that's where I'm going to stay. But then this allows Lewis Hamilton to catch up, and eventually there's some pit stops that happen, and lo and behold, Sir Lewis Hamilton might actually win a race in 2022. Isn't it crazy? The guy who hasn't not won a race in his Formula One career is now 10 rounds in and hasn't won a race in 2022. What do you have to say about that?
Well, that's going to be... You know, he's such an amazing, incredible, inspiring driver. And, you know, I think that's going to be short-lived. I think that in one of the next ones, he's going to come out the victor.
I think so, and I hope so, because me personally, I'm a Mercedes fan. But now back to the race. Then we have Valtteri Bottas, former teammate of Lewis Hamilton, but now Alfa Romeo driver, also out of the race. So that means two DNFs, which is did not finish, for Alfa Romeo. Tough weekend for them, huh?
It was very tough.
Thankfully, everybody's okay. But now back to the race, of course. Then we have Esteban Ocon, as we mentioned earlier, had some damage, was able to repair it due to that red flag. During a red flag, you're allowed to repair your car somewhat, you know, within rules. And they were able to, but at the end of the day, he ends up dropping out. And then at some point, Pierre Gasly also doesn't finish the race of AlphaTauri. I don't know when that happened, but that's just something I've noted here. Then a safety car comes out, which a safety car is just a way for, it's usually like a yellow flag, which means a safety car comes out, allowing the FIA officials to clear the track, but it's not something that it's like parts flew everywhere, people could be seriously in danger. It's just slow down because there's a car stopped that you just need to go around. So that safety car comes out. During this time, Sainz, Hamilton, and Checo are able to pit, but Ferrari keeps out Charles Leclerc, as during a safety car, it takes less time to pit because cars aren't able to go as fast and not able to overtake as quickly. So then... A lot happens in those last 10 laps, as you were talking about the excitement between 1, 2, 3, Sainz, Checo, and Hamilton. But to be honest, it's way too much to get into now. But tell me a little bit about your emotions that you felt during those 10 laps.
Well, it was just incredible how you would see them. All of a sudden, it'd be number one, which was Sainz. Then number two, which was Checo. Then number three, Hamilton. And you'd see Hamilton
and
try to overcome.
Leclerc was stopping Hamilton there for a while. But at the end of the day,
it was so exciting how they were trying to, and they passed. I think Hamilton passed number two, and then number two tried to get number one, but it didn't happen. I mean, I'm saying number two, number one, just not to use their names. But I mean, it was so much excitement. It was so fun to watch. It was so just.
Definitely one of the most exciting races of the season.
It really was. And we got to see it here in Miami when they came to the Hard Rock Stadium, when they came to Miami Garden.
This was 10 times more exciting than that.
But it was really, I don't want to say about 10 times, but yes, it was more exciting.
Well, you know, because. It all, you know, at the end of the day, different things happen.
On television, it was so exciting that, yeah, you know what? You may be right.
Different things happen, different, you know. But at the end of the day in Miami, Max Verstappen took the lead and never looked back. And today it felt a lot more like, who was going to win? Verstappen, your driver's championship leader, disappeared. You know, Perez comes back from falling to 16th, which was the last place in the race since we had those four retirements early. And then he ended up climbing back to P2. That's incredible. And you know what? Now mentioning that, let's finish off with who won. So, of course, we have starting out in P10, which is the last position to get points. Basically, for our viewers who don't know, Formula One has two championships. So they have the Drivers' Championship, which is each individual driver trying to win and score the most points in a season. And then we have the Constructors' Championship, which is a battle between the 10 teams trying to take the most points. So that's why we have two Ferrari drivers, but they're each on their own path. So that's why it was a tense point when Sainz wasn't letting Charles Leclerc pass, because Leclerc wanted to get more points. And then because of that, and because of all the confusion, Sainz was able to get the win ultimately because they put him on a better strategy without even realizing it. You know, it's all a game of cat and mouse and who's going to pit, who's going to do this, who's going to pass what, yada, 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 yada. But let's get back onto what we were talking about. The top 10, which are your points getters. Haas. As Kevin Magnussen gets number 10. Number 9 is Sebastian Vettel of Aston Martin. Happy birthday to him. At 8, we have a double points finish for Haas. And it's Mick Schumacher. He finally gets his first points in Formula 1. Number 7 is Red Bull's Max Verstappen. A great recovery from him. It seemed to have been that he had some damage. He didn't let Mick Schumacher get past him. So, you know, some points are better than no points. And we move on to number 6. The hometown, one of the hometown boys, Lando Norris of McLaren. Number 5 was Fernando Alonso of Alpine. Number 4, Ferrari's Charles Leclerc. Number 3, Sir Lewis Hamilton of Mercedes. Number 2 was Red Bull's Sergio Perez. And number 1, finishing his first ever race in that number 1 position, is Ferrari driver Carlos Sainz. And he becomes the second Spanish driver to win a Formula 1 race. What do you have to say about that incredible moment?
It was just incredible. The excitement, the emotion, you know, the crowd, it's very interesting that even though they were in England and there was people from all over the world, but I think the majority of the people that were there were from England. They really, you know, gave him a warm, congratulatory welcome, let's say. And, they really favored. It's such a beautiful sport that you see the winner and then you see number 2. And then you see number 3, and they're all together, and they're all celebrating together, and they're all
the champagne. That's my favorite part. Every day you win an NBA championship is how it is over there, and I think that's a beautiful thing about the sport. And of course, you're 1, 2, 3, Ferrari, Red Bull, Mercedes. What do you have to say?
They're hard competitors. They really work hard at this. It's a very dangerous sport, very exciting sport. But at the end of the day, sportsmanship, and I like that a lot. So now, as they finish today, we head to Austria.
Yes, we are headed to Austria. That'll be next week, July 10th. So you know we'll be back with a podcast talking all about that. Let us know also, by the way, if you guys would like a preview podcast. We can do something shorter, easier for you guys to digest before the race. And then, of course, we'll always be here. It's seeming like Sundays are our days now for Dak and Rick's podcast. Last week's released on Sunday. Today released on Sunday. Next week, we're going to release one on Sunday after the Austrian Grand Prix. So we'll see. But now, after a nice, lengthy Formula One review, let's head to our first break. And we're back to talk NBA free agency. It's been a wild one this year. I'm going to quickly run through the NBA in general before we talk together about the Miami Heat. I'll have you come in every now and then, but I'm going to try to run through this to be honest, there's a lot of moves here that are inconsequential to the Miami Heat, and this is a Miami-based podcast, but at the end of the day, we have to acknowledge that it happened. So let's first start off with the San Antonio Spurs trading all-star point guard DeJounte Murray to the Atlanta Hawks for Danilo Gallinari and 3 first-round picks. That's a Heat rival right there, and there's an all-star duo now in the backcourt of a division rival. What do you have to say?
Well, it's going to be tough for the Miami Heat, another division rival that has excellent players.
And are just getting stronger.
That's right. Let's see what happens.
Well, let's hope the Miami is able to do something this offseason, as Kevin Durant has requested a trade. I don't know, a star like this doesn't come on the market often. And for a trade, this is definitely uncharted territory.
Yeah, and we understand that he's looking at the Heat. I don't know, Pat Riley, he's always said he wants a big whale. Is this a big whale, Doc?
Let's certainly hope so.
Or is this the biggest whale?
We'll see. And now moving on, the Indiana Pacers trade guard Malcolm Brogdon to the Boston Celtics for Daniel Tice, Aaron Nesmith, Nick Skauskas, Malik Fitz, Juwan Morgan, and a 2023 first-round pick. That's a lot. And at the end of the day, the reigning Eastern Conference champions, the Heat almost beat the basically one shot would have changed that. They just keep on getting stronger as well with Malcolm Brogdon coming in the door. What do you have to say about that?
Well, everyone else is getting stronger, but you know, we're going to get stronger as the days progress and as we are also able to make trades and we're able to fortify our team. So, you know, it's not only that they're getting stronger, we're going to get stronger. But I know we're talking about them first, so go ahead, Dak.
Well, let's hope that he figure it out because they still haven't. And now let's talk about the Atlanta Hawks trading guard Kevin Huerter to the Sacramento Kings. This one wouldn't really be something that you'd bring up on a national scale of things, but the Kings did trade Justin Holiday, Mo Harkless, which is a former Heat player, and two future first-round picks. So Atlanta gets back some of those picks that they traded to San Antonio, allowing them maybe to get in this Kevin Durant sweepstakes. Who knows? But let's move on to probably the biggest trade of the weekend, which is the Utah Jazz trading all-star center Rudy Gobert to the Minnesota Timberwolves for all their first-round picks through 2029. That means, so there's a rule in the NBA called the Stepien rule, which doesn't allow you to trade back-to-back years first-round picks. So if you trade your 2023 first-round pick, you can't trade another one till 2025. You're only allowed to use picks, I think it's 5 or 7 years in advance, whatever 2029 is, however many years 2029 is away. That's, I guess, 6 years, 7 years in advance, you're allowed to use picks. So they traded all of them, but how do you trade all of them? You do pick swaps. So let's say you and I are making a trade and you have the better odds. So let's say I trade for the better pick between the two of us. You get the first overall pick. I get the second. Oh, nah, we're trading because, you know, in that trade, we said whoever gets the better one, I get because, you know, assets and all that stuff. So that's just a little explaining on that. Then they also traded their 2022 first round pick, Walker Kessler, on top of players like Malik Beasley, Patrick Beverley, Jared Vanderbilt, and Leonardo Bulmaro. And those are all being sent to the Jazz. That pretty much wraps up trades. Anything you have to add on that, or do we move on to free agents?
Move on to free agency, but I just want to say that was wild. What they did, what the Utah Jazz did was wild. Let's see how that works out for them.
Yes, let's hope that means Donovan Mitchell's coming to Miami if Kevin Durant isn't. But now back to free agency. Let's first talk about Denver Nuggets, two-time MVP and all-star forward Nikola Jokic becoming the first ever $250,000 player in NBA history as he signs a 5-year, $264 million extension. Anything you have to say about that, or do I just keep on going?
Wow, is all I can say about that.
Alrighty. So now we move on to the Washington Wizards. It's been rumored for years, will Bradley Beal want to come to Miami? Is he coming to Miami? But no, he stays with a division rival on a 5-year, $251 million extension. Then we have Phoenix Suns all-star guard Devin Booker agreeing to a 4-year, $214 million extension. Minnesota Timberwolves extend all-star center Karl Anthony Towns to a 4-year, $224 million deal. New Orleans Pelicans re-sign forward Zion Williamson, and they extend him to a 5-year rookie maximum deal. Can you believe it? He's only played 80 games, and he's getting paid $231 million. Now, continuing on, the Chicago Bulls extend guard Zach LaVine to a 5-year, $215.2 million extension. Then we have to talk about some former Heat players. As former Heat player and slam dunk champion, Derrick Jones Jr. has agreed to a 2-year deal to return to the Chicago Bulls. Then, this is like the one guy that no one expected to be talking about ever in their life, but hey, he's here now. And guard Jalen Brunson signs a 4-year, $110 million deal to leave the Mavericks and head over to the New York Knicks. And lastly, we can't forget about our homegrown talent here at the U. And former UM player forward Lonnie Walker IV has signed a 1-year deal for $6.5 million with the LA Lakers. And former UM player guard slash forward Devon Reed has agreed to return to the Denver Nuggets on a 2-year deal. So that was a lot. I don't know. I've run out of voice. So you want to say something?
Well, just thinking about the amount of money that all these players are making is unbelievable. I mean, I said it, wow, a little while ago. But then as you kept reading and kept talking about it, almost everybody that you've mentioned is above $200 million. So, I mean, this is amazing, amazing, the amount of money that the players are earning, the amount of money that sports figures in general, when it comes to either the NBA, the NFL, Formula One, whatever the case may be, soccer. I mean, it's amazing. It's incredible the amount of money that these players are earning.
Yes, these athletes are definitely getting well paid for the risks that they're taking. But now we have to come back, focus on our Miami Heat, as they had some moves to make, and they did, as they re-signed all-star guard Victor Oladipo to a 1-year, $11 million deal. What do you have to say about that?
I'm excited to have him back. I think he's going to be great. He's proven during the course of the year when he's been able to play, when he's been healthy, how effective he is, what a good shooter he is, how much excitement he brings to the team. So, I mean, I think that's fantastic. Welcome back, Victor.
And another guy you need to welcome back is center Dwayne Dedmon, has agreed to a 2-year, $9 million deal.
He was fantastic. He played really well. He helped, you know, be a support for Bam when Bam was sitting down. And I like his aggressiveness. I like his attitude, his workmanship, the way he plays. I think he's fantastic. So I'm glad that we have him back.
Well, you're glad to have some guys back. You have to let some guys go, of course. As forward, PJ Tucker is sadly heading to the Philadelphia 76ers to have a reunion with James Harden on a 3-year, $33.2 million fully guaranteed deal. What do you have to say about that?
Very interesting. And, you know, he wanted to go back. So let's see what
comes. Well, he's not going back to Philadelphia. He's going back to James Harden.
Right. Let's see how they play. Is it going to be the Pippen?
The same old magic?
Right. I was going to say the Pippen Jordan scenario.
Yeah, they're definitely not a Pippen Jordan scenario.
Okay. But. So I went a little bit overboard there. But let's see how they work together. I think they're going to be great. I know, but you know, and I know that PJ Tucker wanted to go back to play with his old buddy. So let's see what happens.
Yeah, it seems like it. He turned down. He took the extra $3 million to say, hey, I'm going to go play with my friend. And all power to him. Thank you, PJ Tucker, Heat legend. And we still have some guys on the market. Guard Caleb Martin is a restricted free agent. That means that the Heat will have the right to match any offer he receives. Then we have, of course, forward Udonis Haslem. The Heat sent everyone to go make a presentation on day one. Still no decision on his end. And forward Markieff Morris, no clue what he is doing right now and no clue on any of those fronts. But we hope to hear them land a job soon.
Yeah, and what do you think is going to happen with UD?
He's going to come back for his 20th season.
As a player, or you think as he's going to try to... you don't think he's going to try to slip into a coaching position or anything?
He's not coaching. He already said he's either jumping straight into ownership or not at all. So I think he's coming back year number 20. Let's make it happen, UD. The last dance, year 20. Or no, I don't know. We'll see. I don't want to say the last dance because...
Maybe we'll get him here on the podcast one day. You never know.
One day. But now let's transition to the Heat trade rumors. Oh my God, there are a million of them. You think that the Heat are trying to get every single player in the NBA. You know, at this point, I could just name off anybody. As long as they've played in the NBA within the last year, the Heat want them. But the Heat are supposedly all in on getting Kevin Durant, or they're going to be trying to get all-star guard Donovan Mitchell. So two big names, two big whales. And supposedly, the Heat have even submitted an offer to Utah. And now with the whole situation of Rudy Gobert being traded, what does that mean for Utah's future? Do they want that star? Or do they want to let him go and fully get into this rebuild? What do you think?
I think they're probably going to have to go into a rebuild.
Well, we'll wait and see.
I think they're waiting for the summer league to go over a little bit or get into the summer league before he starts making any, any outwardly any statements out there.
No, of course he's not going to make any statements unless he makes a trade. But we will wait and see. But talking about the summer league, let's transition to that abysmal first game versus the LA Lakers, where the Heat lost 100-66. A key note to mention is our summer league savior, Omer Yurtseven, is not with the team as he is in Turkey, or I don't know where he is. I don't know if it's Turkey, England, but Turkey defeated England 85-71 with Yurtseven's help, as Yurtseven scored 9 points on 4 of 8 shooting with 3 rebounds in 12 minutes. So he should be back for Vegas Summer League, but for the California Classic, he will be missing. And tell me about our first rounder, Nikola Jovic.
Well, he had 3 points and 3 rebounds, 16% shooting, so that wasn't too...
Not a great night. Not a great night in the office for the first rounder, as he has high expectations, but at the end of the day, we have to remember, he's still getting used to everything. He says something that's especially hard is he has to listen extra because his coach doesn't speak to him in Serbian. So, you know, there are certain roadblocks that we're going to have to get over with the European guy, and, you know, don't know. I think he'll be fine.
I think he's going to be fantastic. He's such a great addition to the Miami Heat. You know, we're talking about all these other teams and all the other people, all the other teams in our division and how they're building up. Look what we've been able to accomplish. When I say we, I'm talking about, you know, Spoelstra. I'm talking about Pat Riley in acquiring Nikola Jovic. I mean, I think he's going to be fantastic. And believe me, the Heat are going to make whatever language barriers there are, they're going to overcome that really quick. That's not going to be an issue for Nikola to worry about, or for the Heat, or for the fans.
Most definitely. And he speaks English. It's just he says that he needs to kind of, you know, be a little bit more active. And, of course, it might be a good thing, to be honest, having that language barrier, as it forces him to really just pay attention, soak it all in. And we'll see what happens in the next game, which is actually happening in a couple hours today versus the Sacramento Kings. But of course, before we talk about the future, we should finish talking about the past, and we should talk about forward Haywood Highsmith, who is a rostered player on the Heat. He scored 11 points, 8 rebounds, 1 assist, and 2 steals. He was the star of the Summer League team, and who knows what his future might hold. You know, in the Summer League, we found guys like Kendrick Nunn, Duncan Robinson, Omer Yurtseven, Haywood Highsmith. He didn't get really to show anything in the season last year. He was a late addition to the team, and he signed a three-year deal. Everyone was like, who's this guy? But look, he might have found another diamond in the rough.
I think you're right, and I think, again, let's give it a little bit of time. It was their first game. Let's watch in a little while how they do in their second game, how they play. Remember, you know, it's not fair really to assess him. It's not fair to assess Nikola on this first game because it really is of non-importance. This is just a way for them to get to know their teammates, get their feet on the ground, so to speak, and get a taste of what's going on. But very, 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 it's a beginner's course, let's say.
Of course. But with that, I think we've pretty much covered everything. Wow, this one was a long one, but we were able to do it. I don't know. Do you have anything else to close off before I send us into the outro?
Just excited to see the Heat play this afternoon.
Yes, we will most definitely be back next week with another podcast, depending on if it's on Friday or Saturday, previewing Formula One. If it is some point in the middle of the week, if the Heat have a great summer league, we'll find it out. And just stay tuned to the social channels so we can let you know. I don't know if you want to say goodbye or do I just
end all this off? Excitement. Can't wait to come back again. Just excitement, excitement, excitement. F1. And that's what's great about this time of the year. We have all these different sports activities taking place. This is what we live for. This is what we want. This is what the fans want to see and hear. So can't wait to see you guys again.
There's no dead spot on Dak and Rick's pod as there's sports to come all year round. And we thank you so much for listening. Of course, be sure to rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all that good stuff. Follow us on social media at Dak and Rick's Pod on Instagram, at Dak25_. You can follow me personally on Instagram, Twitter, anywhere. And of course, get your podcasts, rate us 5 stars, promote it, tell your friends. I don't know. And with that being said, we will see you guys in the next one.